Well, tell us about how did you do come up with some of the voices, like on Garfield and Friends and the Garfield cartoons and U.S. Acres cartoons. As you said, you did Roy Rooster, you did Gort, and on Garfield you did John Arbuckle and Binky the Clown, to name a
Right.
few. How did you come up with those voices?
Well, John Arbuckle was pretty much me, only a little nerdier. Okay? And I just used my, I'm probably unrecognizable today because of this cold I've got. It was kind of, I moved up into the kind of this register here, and because I'm, he needed to be sort of pathetic, you know? And vulnerable, and that just seemed to work really well. Binky the Clown was the screaming clown, and Binky, we had him in the show for a while. We had a little episode called Screaming with Binky, and he'd go someplace totally inappropriate, like a diamond cutter's salon, and you know, and he just, everything he did was at the top of his voice, as loud as he could possibly do it, and we always saved those sessions for last. Because my voice would just be totally gone. Because there was no way to fake that. We just had to scream it. Then, as we were working on the U.S. Acres characters, we did some, what you would call animatics. We did some demo kinds of things, stories, out in Indiana, and just kind of used some staff. And I kind of fell in love with Roy. And developed that character, and Roy Rooster was just kind of this irritable, mostly well-meaning, but kind of self-centered rooster. And I felt like his voice ought to have some sort of sense of irritation, you know, to the audience.
Right.
And so we moved him way up here. You know, well, hello, piggo. And just, you know,
horse.
Pardon me.
Horse. Orson.
Oh, Gort was.
I said hello, Ors.
Oh yes, Orson. I'm sorry. No, I'm cute, but I'm really deaf now. Okay.
Okay. So tell us about Gort.
Well, Gort was, he was really a minor character. They developed three brothers who could pick on Orson. They were Orson's brothers, Mort, Gort, and Wart. Okay, and so we did kind of a, well, hello there, brother. You know. And that brings it to my throat. I'm sorry. Pardon me.
That's all right. I'm sorry.
The great joy was that a lot of these characters were kind of like, some of them were just kind of experiments, you know, and that got created or came to life in the recording studio. You know, if in the animation world, you do the voice tracks first, and then they do the drawings to the voice. Okay. Mm-hmm. Rather than the other way around, that was a real creative process. So Mark Evanier, the writer, would write in this, you know, just kind of incidental character, and somebody would latch onto that and make something out of it, and somebody would say, "Boy, we got to do that again," and so they'd bring him back in a different episode, you know, because it was so much fun, you know.
Right.
So that's where a lot of those things. That's where a lot of especially the more incidental characters. You know, one of our actors, our part of our stock company, is a guy named Frank Welker, who was just an amazing voice talent, and especially during that time. And I've lost track of Frank. I don't know if he's still working or not.
He is.
Okay, he was just incredibly busy. I mean, doing just and basically just mostly doing voiceover, and he would even do
sound effects,
soundtracks for movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where, hey Frank, we need a dog here in this night scene, okay? And so they'd bring him in, and he'd, wah, 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 well, what kind of dog do you want? Roof, roof, you know, just was really good. sorry,
all right.
But Frank played a number of characters for us. He played Booker and Sheldon. These are the two chicks, the little chick, baby chicks. One of whom has not come out of his shell.
Right, he's an
Sheldon.
Egg.
Okay, and so he went into this fairly cartoony, because it needed to be such a young chicken. You know, oh hi there. You know, real high pitched. And then for Sheldon, he'd do the same thing, but he'd either put his hand over his mouth or use a cup. So it'd be, oh, hi, everything would be kind of muffled. And he also did...
Bow Sheep?
Bow Sheep, right. Well, you know more about this than I do.
Well, I'm a big fan.
You've done your... Well, thank you. you've done your research.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about you, of course, doing Garfield specials and Garfield and Friends. You got to work with the late legendary... Oh, by the way, folks, we're talking with Tom Hughey from Garfield and Friends.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Or whatever.
We're talking... Well, I already just said that. You got to work with the late legendary voice of Garfield, Lorenzo Music. What
yes.
was that like? What
Absolutely. Couldn't have been a better experience. Lorenzo was the sweetest, warmest person that you could imagine, and if there was anything funny to be gotten from words strung together, he found it. He just was a wonderful comedic actor. You know, he started out doing like Carlton the Doorman from the old
mm-hmm.
Rhoda Show.
From Rhoda, right.
In fact, he was a producer for Bob Newhart and mm-hmm. the Bob Newhart Show and many, many years ago, but he finally decided, I want to be an actor. And he decided he wanted to just do voice work. He didn't want to be on camera. And if you've seen pictures of him, you've probably seen him with something in front of his face.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his headshot. You know, every actor has a headshot, you know, a photo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at one right here on my my office wall, where he's at a table at a restaurant. He's got on a baseball cap kind of thing, mm-hmm. sunglasses. He's got a coffee cup right in front of his face. You can't see him. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's his headshot. Because he always thought, I want people to hire me based on what I sound like, not on what I look like.
Mm-hmm.
That was I thought very crafty of him and very wise. He did a lot of work. He's a very busy actor, and unfortunately, came to an all too quick end
mm-hmm.
Because of cancer, and it was a very sad day. I mean, he had a lot of talent and was always a gentleman and very, very nice.
Hmm. Well, we know you mostly from Garfield, and I do, but
sure.
you know, you have you talked about you first did a McDonald's commercial. What else have you done as an actor?
You know, this Garfield's about it. I mean, I've done a ton of commercials. I mean, literally hundreds of them. I was in the ad agency business for a while too. During that, before I went to work for Jim Davis, I had an ad agency in Indianapolis. My ex-wife and I we called it the Huge Company, won a bunch of awards, you know, local Addy Awards and things like that. And it's when I really began to hone my skills as a marketer
mm-hmm.
and a writer. So later on, in fact, not too long ago, I came to work for a museum here in Cody. That's how
mm-hmm.
I ended up in Wyoming, a place called the Buffalo Bill Historical
mm-hmm.
Center.
Tell us about that.
The Historical Center is an amazing anomaly. It is a huge museum complex in a community of about 9,000 people here
mm-hmm.
in western Wyoming, just outside Yellowstone National Park.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 300,000 square feet of building. That's 7 acres, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It has 5 different kinds of museums. Whitney Gallery of Western Art, the Plains Indian Museum, Cody Firearms Museum. They've got like 6,000 firearms in their collection.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo Bill Museum, okay, which is really where it started. And then also the Draper Museum of Natural History. And everything, basically, it's all about the West, the American
mm-hmm.
West. The Art Museum has amazing paintings by people like Thomas Moran and Albert Bierstadt and N.C. Wyeth, Frederick Remington, you know, Charlie Russell,
mm-hmm.
These classic 19th century painters. They see about 250,000 people a year in a community of 9,000. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And basically, it's a tourist attraction. Okay,
mm-hmm.
because we have people on the way to Yellowstone and on the way out, and that's where all those people come from.
Mm-hmm.
They stop off in Cody. We're just 50 miles from the park, and spend the day and spend a few hours in this amazing museum complex. It's quite stunning. If you're ever in Cody, you've got to see it. You can't, you know, or in this neighborhood even.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're also the news director for the Bighorn Radio Network. Tell us about that network and what you do.
Well, it's a small radio network here in Wyoming, owned by a company called Legend Communications.
Mm-hmm.
We have 5 stations just kind of here in what we call the Bighorn Basin. And then the company itself owns a number more, but we do news for four of those five stations. It's a one-man shop, okay? It's, I'm the news director, but I'm also the reporter and the assignment editor, and I make coffee and clean out the waste baskets, okay? It's kind of a return to my some of my roots, because I worked in radio. I think I mentioned earlier.
You did.
When I was just almost just out of college for a number of years, I was a disc jockey and a production guy then, and now I'm doing this news thing, and I'm finding it just fascinating. I figured out a long time ago I'm a storyteller, and I think that's what this is about too. I'm just not allowed to make it up. Okay.
Well.
I'm supposed to be telling the truth, and I think I do a pretty good job of it, actually.
Well, this has been a wonderful, wonderful interview. I want to ask one last question. What does the future hold for you? Tough
Gosh,
one.
If I knew that. I expect that this is where I'm going to stay. I'm not interested in, you know, moving up to larger market radio or anything. I've done all that. This is a great way. I'll confess, I'm 60 years old now, and this is a great. We live in an amazingly, stunningly beautiful part of the world. I look out my window, and I can see five different mountain ranges. Okay, we're right here on the edge of the Rocky Mountains, and we live out in the country. In a very reasonably priced house that's comfortable and we could afford, on 5 acres of land. You know, to someone back out east, that must seem incomprehensible, maybe. I don't know. And I'm not a wealthy guy. My wife is a school teacher here. She's a special ed. Her name is Karen, and she's a special ed teacher at the Cody Middle School and loves the job, thinks it's the best school system she's ever worked for.
Well, that's good.
We've made friends here and just fallen in love with this part of the world. My guess is the future holds more of what I'm doing now, I think.
Okay. Well, Tom, I want to thank you very much for this wonderful... I didn't even have to ask that many questions. You answered all the questions that I was going to ask.
I kept expecting you to say, Tom, stop already.
No, you're great.
Bless your heart. Thank you.
I wanted to hear everything.
Okay, well, Mike, we can talk again sometime, okay?
Okay, that'd be great. This has been Tom Hughey here on the Mike Shamari Show, and we'll be right back with more music.